The World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Sarah Birnbaum, a producer I work with, recently attended a bat mitzvah.
It was my niece's bat mitzvah. Her name is Leia. And if you've ever been to one of these things, you know, it follows a typical pattern. There's a service in the morning at synagogue. And then sometime afterwards, there's a huge dance party. And, you know, there's the typical hora. And there's plenty of Taylor Swift. And the traditional father-daughter dance. But the thing at this bat mitzvah was there was the slightly less traditional Japanese Olympic dance.
I mean, there's never really been a girl like me.
This is Leia, and the reason there was that Japanese Olympic dance is because her bat mitzvah happened to be in Tokyo, Japan, because that's where Leia's from. Well, it's sort of where she's from.
What I consider a girl like me is a girl that's, like, been introduced to many different cultures and communities. So I'm half Chinese and half American, so I've been introduced to Chinese cultures and American cultures, and I live in Japan, so Japanese cultures, and I'm Jewish, so Jewish cultures.
Her mom is from Dalian in Shanghai in China, and her dad is Jewish from Atlanta, but Leia was born in Japan and grew up in Japan, so, like, where would you say she's from?
Yeah, my culture is totally different than my parents.
Do you feel like you have to explain a lot to them about what it's like to grow up in Japan or, like, what it's like to be you?
Even if I do explain to them, they won't really understand. They're never going to live through what I'm living through. They're never going to know what it's like to go to my school, seeing the different languages that are spoken at the tables. They're never going to live through that. And it's hard to explain how to live through that.
So getting bat mitzvah in some ways is the ultimate litmus test of identity because it marks your entry from childhood into adulthood. And so what it's done for Leia is it's inspired her to think more about her roots and to even kind of test things out. Like this summer she told me she wanted to start keeping kosher.
Because I realized that I live in Japan. I love eating shrimp, love eating pork because I'm Chinese. But now I don't feel like I was Jewish before. I studied Judaism, yeah, but I didn't feel like I was a Jew. I actually, at one point, especially last year, I was ashamed to be a Jew. I didn't tell anyone that I was Jewish. I didn't feel like being Jewish was a good thing.
I don't know. I would think that in a place where your dad is different and your mom is different and your family is different, it feels like one more big difference.
Yeah. I'm a foreigner everywhere I go. When I go to China, people are like, oh, Waigoren, which means foreigner. You look American. You look European. When I go to America, they're like, oh, you look Asian. And I'm like, no, I don't. Just everywhere I turn, it's just like, oh, you're a foreigner here. You're a foreigner there. So it's just, I didn't want to live with another, with feeling more like a foreigner, you know?
I'm Patrick Cox. You're listening to The World in Words. This week on the podcast, growing up between parents, between cultures, between languages. The growing number of people who identify as third culture kids, TCKs. We should just start at the beginning. Can you pronounce your name in all the languages you speak?
That's a really good question. Yes, I believe so.
Okay, can you give it a go?
Okay, so English would be Karolina Kristina Chorvath. Czech / Slovak would be Karolina Kristina Chorvat. Spanish would be
Karolina Chorvath. I'll say it the American way, I guess. Karolina is a classic third culture kid.
I was born in Belgium. I only lived there for about a month, and then we moved to the Netherlands. And I lived there with my parents for about 4 years, I think. And then after that, we moved to Chicago, and we lived in my grandparents' basement for a year. And then after that, we moved to Michigan, where we lived in an apartment for about a year, and then moved into our home that we lived in for about 8 or 9 years.
And the reason for all of this moving was because you had one parent who was American and one who was...
Czechoslovak.
As it was then, Czechoslovak.
Yes, and then now Slovakia. He grew up in Bratislava.
As a child, Karolina's house and her head were full of languages.
My mother does speak Slovak, but I would switch between parents. And then when my family would have friends over, we would have different countries and languages in the room. So I was exposed to Spanish, German, Czech, Slovak, English, Dutch, and I would bounce between each language. At the age of 3, I guess I knew who spoke what language, and I would switch between each person. You know those boxes filled with, like, flying around money at fairs that people stand inside the box and there's all the money flying around? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
I don't know what they're called either. They're like a hurricane machine or whatever. So that's what my brain feels like when I'm communicating in a language. I feel like each of those little pieces of paper, dollar bills, has like words and phrases and languages that I know. And I'm standing on the inside just trying to like grab as many as I can to try and fit in or communicate or get my point across or sometimes figure out, you know, where the bathroom is or whatever. When I think about it, that's just me grasping constantly, whether it's for identity, whether it's for language, cultural norms, sometimes my own personality, you know? Yeah, it's hectic in there. I lived in Midland, Michigan with my family. I think now the town has become a little bit more international, but at the time, it was like me and maybe an Indian girl in the class and a Belgian girl, and we were all just lumped into like the odd foreigners. I think part of what was hard too was because I'm white and because I'm European, people, and because I speak English the way that I do. My mother teaches English as a second language, and it was one of my first languages. When I moved to the United States, I think people expected me to know more and to be more prepared with American culture. And I just was not.
We felt that was what was best for you. But then you had to try and assimilate to culture in the U.S., which was completely new to you.
This is Carolina's mom, Kim.
I remember bringing you to preschool and we had to pack a lunch. And you didn't like peanut butter and jelly. And you didn't like sandwiches like other kids did. So we asked, okay, well, what do you want? And you said you wanted pate on toast. That's what we sent you with. And other kids thought that was weird. And the teacher thought that was odd. That was always something. You didn't quite fit in over there, didn't quite fit in over here. And I think it was something that you were always aware of on some level. And I was too.
In fact, even to this day, Carolina's mom struggles with her own daughter's name.
I know that sounds ridiculous. Here I'm your mother, and I don't know how to refer to you when I speak to others because you're Carolina, Carolina, and now you're Carolina. So it depends on where we are and who I'm speaking to. And I think I have to think about, okay, who am I speaking with right now? Which name do I use for my child?
So this not knowing who you are, it got more complicated when Carolina became a teenager. I imagine that if I was in that situation, I would be confused as to sort of whether my confusion was down to adolescence and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. or whether it was down to the third culture.
You picked it out right there. That is the most difficult part at least I think about being a third culture kid is, you know, all of these huge changes are being made during your developmental years. These years where, I mean, even if you're going through puberty or something, you're like, you feel out of place in your own body. And at the same time, you feel out of place in what's supposed to be your home, no matter where that is, whether that's the place that you were born or where your passport is from or where your parents are from, you don't fit in anywhere. I found that to be really isolating. I had a really difficult time in middle school and at the very beginning of high school when I was living in Michigan. I couldn't connect with anybody. And then when I moved to Poland and I went to an international school, I was surrounded by other kids like me. And I was like, oh my God, this is home. This is Mecca.
Yep, that's right, Poland. It was the next stop on Karolina's childhood tour. She was 16. And that's when she first heard the term third culture kid.
I came across the term when I was in high school. It was so eye-opening and exciting for me. I was like, oh, this is my nation. This is where I'm from.
Okay, we're going to just take a minute to recommend a podcast.
A podcast. It's called Inbox, and it is from the hilarious minds of Nicole Drespel and Matt Straub.
The conceit is really good.
Yeah.
So they have a guest on every week, and they get the guest to bring in, I don't know, their phone or a laptop or whatever, and then they go through their personal messages and
yeah.
Social
would you ever
media
do that, Patrick,
and all of this.
Ever?
Me? No, yeah. Absolutely not.
It seems so invasive. And but, they write funny emails with them and respond to things and read their cheat chats and the whole thing.
It's really good. I listened to one that had a lot of poop jokes in it. And actually, it had more than jokes in it. Just a lot of poop in it.
I listened to one where they were trying to discern if a G-chat was flirting or not. And you realize how many G-chats are flirting and how easy it is to flirt in print.
Without even knowing it.
Right,
or
exactly.
At least kidding yourself.
This is a whole topic for our podcast. Anyway, Inbox, you can get it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts.
Give it a listen. So, Karolina, I think I kind of get what third culture kid means, but how is it sort of academically defined?
I was curious myself. I actually spoke to somebody about this who co-wrote what's basically the TCK Bible. Third culture kids growing up among worlds. Her name is Ruth Van Recken.
We define it as someone who's living for a significant part of their developmental years, their first 18 years, outside of their parents' passport countries or country. It can be the families who come from Mexico and move to California for 6 months of a year, right? And go back.
So it's kids growing up outside their parents' culture. They create their own culture, the third culture.
And does this include refugee children?
I actually asked Ruth about that.
I think there's the yes and a no. In the original definitions, you could say that because they accompanied their parents. But then I think if we make the definition for traditional TCK include that you're doing it for a parent's choice of work, mm-hmm. It's not forced expatriation. And I think forced expatriation could be a difference, even though the thing that's the same would be the sense of the loss of home, loss of culture, you know, that kind of stuff.
So Ruth has an interesting story herself. She was born in the U.S. and spent most of her childhood living in Nigeria. And she struggled with pretty basic symptoms of a TCK, bouts of depression, feeling of loss and separation. And when she was 39, her mother sent her an article about third culture kids. And since then, she's basically devoted her entire life trying to help third culture kids make their way through these difficult transitions.
I feel so passionately that you shouldn't have to be 39 before you find out. And that if we can normalize this for people, they don't all have to think, what's my problem? And the parents don't have to sit around and think, what happened to my kid?
After graduating high school in Poland, Karolina returned to the U.S. for college. What was it coming to the U.S. for the second time? You were much more grown up, but had you figured some of your personality out by then? Was it easier?
No. No, not at all. I mean, I was coming in for college. I found some other international students and other third culture kids, and I feel like we were able to be comfortable together. You know, we could exchange experiences without having to worry about sounding snobby or someone like being totally confused as to why we didn't know what language we were supposed to speak in a certain moment.
Like, our friendship is a prime example. You know, I met you during orientation. We really bonded over the fact that we had moved so many times.
So who's this?
That's my friend from college, Natasha. She's also a TCK, and she just gets it. I don't have to explain myself like I do with other people.
It was like, yes, friends, definitely. So it's such an easy thing to bond over because kind of, you know, you share the same experiences and the same questions, like, where are you from? It's like, oh, great, I have to answer this question again. And or if people ask you, like, oh, so you've moved around so many times, where's home? And it's like, oh, I really don't know.
Technically, Natasha's Malaysian. She was born there. Her passport is from there.
But I don't necessarily see myself as someone who, you know, is proud to be Malaysian or really associates herself in any way really related to the country. So I feel kind of a fake when I say, oh, I'm Malaysian or I'm from Malaysia. Yeah. But then you kind of like, you don't want to say, oh, well, I was born here, but then I moved here. And I feel like I'm kind of culturally confused. It just, I think, gives such a wrong impression because, I think one of the toughest things when you're outside of the international kind of third culture community is explaining the lifestyle that you've had. And, you know, you're thinking, how do we share certain things about our life abroad without coming across as a total snob?
Yeah.
So my answer always is tailored to the person I'm talking to. If they seem seemingly interested in what I have to say, then maybe I'll go a little bit more in depth. But if not, I'll just say, born in Malaysia, but currently here.
So if people are interested, what does she say? What do you say? I mean, what do you say you are?
Well, Natasha certainly has an answer for that.
My entire identity is made up of my experiences. You know, experiencing different cultures and being in different places and speaking to different people. And, you know, I really believe that third culture kids are beyond racial, are beyond national and social boundaries.
So you've got a lot of TCK friends now, like Natasha. That's really got to help. Plus, you've also got the idea of third culture kid. That's all got to really help you, right, in knowing your place in the world.
Absolutely. And through working on this podcast, reconnecting with some of these friends and talking to the author of the TCK Bible, Ruth, it's really helped me process some of these thoughts and feelings about being a TCK. So I spoke to Ruth for over an hour, and after a while, she kind of became like my therapist. Here's a little bit of our conversation.
It's just so fascinating to me because it really has become somewhat of this realization that in some ways, there's more third culture kids, or what used to be called third culture kids. And I think more than, you know, say 50 years ago, especially considering displacement of people, but also in conjunction with freedom of movement, that people are traveling more. So that makes more people like us. And just like you're saying, I think that that's actually a beautiful thing, because I think one thing that third culture kids do have is this great sense of empathy and understanding.
Absolutely.
And I think if we can identify those qualities in ourselves and in other people, you know, not to sound cliche here or anything, but I truly think the world would be just a better place. I mean, you have a world full of people who understand each other.
I couldn't agree more.
So one last thing, Carolina. I mean, you're clearly much more at ease with being a TCK. You've got the sense of who that is and who you are. Does that affect the way that you view your own personal linguistic history? Do you have a different sense of what your mother tongue is?
No. If anything, it's made me feel more comfortable with not having to choose, because that's what being a third culture kid is, having more than one and not needing to choose.
In your world, there's no such thing as a mother tongue.
That's such a hard question. That's the thing. I have two mother tongues, so English and Slovak. And, I mean, I don't think I need to choose one. I will do this, I will do that, and then
I will be this, I can be anything. Carolina Chorvath is the world's digital editor and producer. We'll post a couple of photos of Carolina from the various places that she's lived in over the years. They'll be at pri.org/language. This song, by the way, is the work of another third culture kid. Her name is Sirintip. She was born in Thailand, where her dad is from. She moved to Sweden, where her mom is from, when she was 11, then moved again to New York City as a young adult. She considers herself equally of three cultures. Beautiful from the start. Today's episode was edited by Nina Porzuki and mixed by Tina Toby. Thanks also to Sarah Birnbaum, April Peavy, Lauren Rothering, and Rupa Shenoy. If you liked this episode and you think other people also might like it, the best way to get the word out is, well, there are two ways. Tell your friends, and also please leave a review wherever you heard this. You can get in touch with us at the World in Words Facebook page or on Twitter at LingoPod. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
The World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities.